Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14 year olds. This week, we've got writers Eve and James, plus editorial assistant Kay. Alright then, James, tell me, what is going on in the new issue?
Well, Bex, today, as we're recording this, I think the thing everyone's talking about is the politics news about the Prime Minister being set to resign. The magazine went to press before this news broke, but you can read about some of the resignations. We've also got loads of other things in the issue. We've got a feature all about libraries. We've got a well-being page about coping with change. The BAFTA Young Game Designer Awards, an exhibition on African fashion. Do something on a new sport called wall ball, which you can play with just a ball and a glove. And my favourite, a record-breaking goat in Pakistan whose ears are nearly half a metre long. Has to be seen to be believed.
Wow, that does sound like a real rubbish story that you would try and trick me with, James. Something for everyone there, love that. Okay, well, if you want to find out more about The Week Junior, ask a grown-up to go to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast and use the code podcast to sign up for a six-week free trial. So on to this week's episode of The Week Junior Show, we'll find out about a big country tackling its plastic problem, a poet who's been awarded the highest position in children's literature, and a Scottish library filled not with books, but with toys. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether takeaway apps should be banned. But before all of that, given that we'll be talking about the Children's Laureate, I want to know who your favourite children's author is. Eve, you can go first.
I'm going to have to go with Lauren Child, the author who wrote the Charlie and Lola books and the Clarice Bean books. I was absolutely obsessed with Charlie and Lola when I was younger. Not just the books, but also the TV show as well. It's literally so cute. The kind of illustrations are really cute. And then growing up, I loved Clarice Bean as well. And actually for Christmas last year, my mum and dad got me, Lauren Child wrote a Clarice Bean Christmas book. I think it's called... Think Like an Elf, and it's honestly such a cute book, and I just love her. She's great. And I once wrote a letter to her and she replied.
Oh, the dream. I have to say, I know Lauren Child very well because I've interviewed her quite a few times. I've interviewed her at book festivals and stuff, and I have read that new Christmas Clarice Bean book, and it is really cute. You're right, it's awesome, isn't it?
It's so fun and just, you know, some real Christmas spirit.
it was a beaut. James, how about you?
Well, I'm going to go for a classic author, Roald Dahl, whose books I loved because they're often quite dark and quite weird, but they're always really funny. And a fun fact about Roald Dahl, actually, the person who illustrated his books, Quentin Blake, with these quite iconic illustrations, was actually the first ever Children's Laureate. So, a good claim to fame.
That is a good claim to fame. And finally, Kay, who have you got going?
I love Jacqueline Wilson, who's the author of Tracy Beaker, and a few years ago I went to an event for her book My Mum Tracy Beaker, and I got to meet her and I just couldn't stop crying.
This is where I find it really tricky. So I read a lot of books, and one of my aims in life, weirdly, is to interview every children's laureate, and I've interviewed quite a few, actually. I've interviewed Lauren Child, Jacqueline Wilson, Chris Riddell, Michael Rosen, a couple of others, and I don't mean to turn this into a bragging session, so I find this very difficult because I know and like a lot of authors, and I love some newer authors like M.G. Leonard and Elle McNichol, but for this one in particular, I'm going to have to be honest, I'm going to go with Jacqueline Wilson. She was my favourite as well, Kay. I mean, she was just brilliant, wasn't she? Anyway, moving on to real or rubbish, James, what story do you have for me?
Well, Bex, you might remember that last week we talked about a man who flew in an inflatable dinghy over the Atlantic Ocean. Well, now we're going to a new extreme because a hamster has been sent on an out-of-this-world balloon ride.
What?
Yep, a Japanese space company placed a hamster in a small airtight cabin and attached it to a balloon, and up it went, 14 miles above the Earth, twice as high as planes fly, into a layer of the atmosphere called the stratosphere. Going up at an average of 6.3 metres per second. And this hamsternaut was apparently asleep most of the time because they caught it on camera. It's been described as a giant step for hamkind.
Oh, God.
But is it real or are we pulling your whiskers?
Oh, James, I've got so many questions. First of all, do we have a name for the hamster?
All I've heard is Hamster Knot, but yeah, I feel like it should have a more personal name than that.
Okay. Secondly, was the hamster okay? Did the hamster make it back to planet Earth all right?
The hamster landed safely in the sea and I'm happy to report is in good health.
In the sea? Right, that's a bit weird. Okay, good. Hope it floated. I guess the obvious question is why are we doing this? What's the reason?
Well, the Japanese company said that they want to bring space travel to the masses to let ordinary people get involved. So their way of showing that it's safe is to put a hamster on. Because I guess if a hamster can take it, then anyone can, apparently.
I guess. So I do know, I think the first kind of ship into space, should we say, was a dog called Laika, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, animals going into space is a thing that has been done before.
Yep.
But I just find it weird that you would send a hamster and that... I mean, I don't understand the gain from it, is my problem here. And the hamster just seems like an odd choice. If I was sending an animal into space, I'd want to send a giraffe just to double-check everything. Like, I'd want a big rocket.
Maybe a hamster is more practical to launch up on a balloon than a giraffe, maybe. But
I think in my head I just wanted to see a giraffe with, like, a little helmet. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted in my life. I don't know, James. This seems ridiculous. And as soon as you said it, I was like... Are you going to try and catch me out on this? Is this one I don't know about, but it's actually real? So I'll have to have a think. That little sigh there from you, you know exactly what you're doing to me. If you're listening and you don't know either, if you've not read your copy of the magazine yet, make your guess before the end of the show and we can find out the answer together. So now it's time for our three most interesting stories from this week. Eve, what is going on?
Well, India has just introduced a ban on single-use plastics to try and tackle pollution. And so this doesn't include plastic bags, but it includes items such as straws and disposable plastic cutlery. And India has the second biggest population in the world, and so around 14 million tonnes of plastic are used every year because lots of products are being made that have plastic packaging. And there are not large organised recycling systems in India, which means that a lot of the plastic becomes litter and ends up in drains or in the sea and it can harm wildlife. So the law bans the making of some single-use plastics or buying them from abroad as well.
All right, so have people kind of welcomed this new rule?
Well, not everyone is pleased with the rule. Some businesses have said they didn't have enough time to prepare for it, so alternative options might not be readily available yet, and drinks companies would like plastic straws to be excluded. And also, it might be difficult to make sure that everyone follows the rules, and so local governments are going to have to try and enforce the ban in smaller local areas, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, still a really big thing to do, I think. Thanks, Eve. James, what is going on for you?
Well, this week, Joseph Coilho was announced as the new Children's Laureate, which is a position awarded every 2 years to someone who's the very best in children's literature. And the idea is that they represent children's books and do lots of projects to kind of promote it. So Coilho is a poet, he's a playwright, an author. His works include the Luna Loves picture books and the poetry collection Overheard in a Tower Block. And he was presented with this special silver laureate medal at a special ceremony in London by Cressida Cowell, who's the author of How to Train Your Dragon, and she was the previous laureate. And at this ceremony, Coilho also performed a new poem called The Power of a Poem, which kind of celebrated the power of poetry.
Now, as I bragged about earlier, I like to think of myself as an interviewer of Children's Laureates. So I did interview him this week, actually, and he seems amazing. Oh. And he's got loads of big plans, right? What does he plan to do as a laureate?
Yeah, well, I actually interviewed him as well. So, yeah, and I agree. He's really, really nice. He was telling me about his three main projects that he's got planned. So the first one is called Bookmaker Like You. So it's all about diversity in publishing, making sure that young people can see themselves as a writer, an illustrator, or someone behind the scenes in publishing. His second one is called Poetry Prompts, so it's all about breaking down people's fears about poetry, showing that everyone can write a poem, can read a poem. And his final one is really interesting. It's all about libraries and raising awareness of the value of local libraries. And he's actually done a library marathon where he tries to join a library in every single local authority area in the country. He's already done 140, apparently, and he's going to join 70 more. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's got a lot of libraries to join, but I was amazed at how many he's done already. I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm even a member of one. I need to up my game. Now, Kay, how about you? What have you been finding out about?
A toy library has opened in Govan in Glasgow, Scotland, to help families struggling with the cost of living. The toy library has more than 650 toys and games, and people can choose 4 toys which they can borrow for 1 month. They just have to pay £8 per month to use the library, but families with less money can have free membership.
Now, it seems like a really fun idea. What does it aim to do?
So the toy library coordinator, Gossier Dabroska, says we aim to cater for ages birth to teen, so there really is something for everyone. All fees go back into expanding and improving the library's catalogue of books and toys. The library is also reducing waste and promoting reusing items. And even the library itself is made entirely of recycled objects.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, it seems like a really great idea. I love that. Thanks, guys. So as well as reading more about these stories in The Week Junior, you can also read a review of Onyeka and the Academy of the Sun, a fantastic book all about a girl who learns that her hair has magical powers. It's written by Tola Okogwu, and here she is to tell us a little bit more about herself.
Hi there, listeners of The Week Junior Show. My name is Tola Okogwu, and I'm the author of Onyeka and the Academy of the Sun, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer 2 very important questions. Firstly, do I like Marmite? No, the answer is I do not like Marmite. I prefer jam or peanut butter. Secondly, what was my favourite book growing up? The answer would have to be The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. I loved that book growing up, and I remember looking in wardrobes trying to get into Narnia long after reading that book.
On the subject of books, James, what is the latest on the Week Junior's Summer of Reading campaign?
Well, the campaign is very much underway. You can read all about it in our issues. And the countdown is also on to our first ever Summer of Reading live event. So this is taking place on Saturday, the 16th of July, at a brilliant venue, the British Library in London. And there's going to be all kinds of workshops, talks, debates going on. Some of the nation's favourite children's authors are going to be there, including Shana Jackson, Frank Cottrell Boyce, and the new children's laureate who we've just mentioned, Joseph Coilo. So if you want to find out more, if you want to book tickets, you can go online and go to futureevents.uk/theweekjuniorlive and you can find everything you need there. But yeah, highly recommended that event.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, James. Yeah, futureevents.uk, theweekjuniorlive is the place to go. And I can't wait to find out more about it. So now it's time for the big debate. This week we're asking whether food delivery apps should be banned. Kay, can you tell me a bit more?
Pizza, burgers, kebabs, you name it, the apps do it. A recent survey by the World Health Organization said that the UK is now one of the most overweight nations in Europe. The pandemic saw a big rise in people ordering takeaway meals using apps. Takeaways can contain twice as many calories, which are units of energy, as supermarket versions of the same food. And the main cause of obesity, which is being overweight, is taking in more calories than you use. The UK government estimates that obesity costs the NHS £6.1 billion per year. Food campaigners say that takeaway apps are harming people's health because being obese means people are more likely to develop health conditions, such as diabetes and heart disease. Others argue that apps provide access to delicious and often nutritious meals with a few quick taps. So what do you think? Should food delivery apps be banned?
All right, this is going to be Eve versus James. Eve is going to go first, challenging her to say why takeaway apps should be taken away. So Eve, whenever you're ready, go for it.
Well, having been someone who, you know, used takeaway apps, especially when I was at university, I just think that they have become too easy to order food, and it just makes people order them more often because, you know, you're sitting there thinking, oh, what shall I have for dinner? I could either slave away and cook something, or I could order something, and it's just so much easier. But by banning them, it will actually encourage people to do their own cooking. And there are so many benefits to cooking your own food. It could be healthy, you can do it with your family, which is fun, and you can save money because you're using ingredients already in the kitchen. And you could even make your own spin on a takeaway, you know, like a homemade curry or homemade pizza, whatever. And also, they are not great for the environment because delivery drivers go around on motorbikes or in cars, and so, you know, they're contributing to pollution levels that are already pretty high. And also, the packaging often includes a lot of plastic, or if it's not plastic, even if it's a pizza box, for example, they can't always be recycled. I remember at university we got told by the bin men that they couldn't recycle our pizza boxes because they were covered in pizza grease, so not ideal.
All right, well, First of all, Eve, I'm going to be honest with you. That was 1 minute and 15 seconds. So you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But I appreciate it's difficult because I am a stickler for the rules, but I appreciate how much you care about this situation. Well, okay, so Eve is very keen there that takeaway apps need to be banned, but she has also accidentally made me quite peckish. James, whenever you're ready, say why you disagree.
Well, people should be able to choose themselves what and how they eat. There are other ways of tackling obesity that aren't so extreme as banning apps. We could encourage people to exercise more, for example. And lots of restaurants and takeaway drivers rely on these apps. They kept them going through the pandemic. The app market in the UK is worth over £8 billion. So rather than completely banning them, we could do other things like taxing them more or restricting their advertising. But most importantly, cooking all the time is just too much effort, and there's nothing wrong with having a takeaway as a treat occasionally. People don't have time to always cook, and sometimes you're feeling a bit lazy, you just want to go on an app and order a pizza. So I categorically do not think we should ban these apps, sorry.
Okay, wow, a tight 46 seconds there from James. Kay, what do you reckon?
I'm really stuck on this one because I love takeaways, but I find apps quite expensive and sometimes they're not even that convenient because, like, some drivers won't drive to your house, it will be too far away. So I think maybe have a limit on how many takeaways you can order from the apps or something like that.
All right, an interesting answer there. So listeners, let us know what you reckon by responding to the poll at theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or by emailing hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining which side of the debate you support and why. Last week, we asked you if Minnie Mouse should ditch her famous polka dot dress and wear a trouser suit instead. A big 80% of you thought that she should keep her classic look.
One pop jammer said no, because it's classic and it's what she's always worn.
Another agreed, saying no, because it's traditional and cute.
Someone else on pop jammer said yes, because lots of people like Minnie Mouse and they might like to see her in a different costume.
All right then, so remember, get involved, grab a grown-up and record a video telling us what you think about this week's debate. Then send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. All right, so before we go, we need to reveal our real or rubbish story. James, can you remind me what it was, please?
So this was the story of the Hamsternaut launched up 14 miles above the Earth by a Japanese space company. Thankfully, safe and sound, but yeah, a big adventure for a very small hamster.
I have a feeling you just picked the story because you like saying the word Hamsternaut, would I be right?
That could be true, but also the fact that you thought a man flying in a dinghy was too extreme last week. So I was going to just see how far you might be tempted to go with this one.
Oh, I am quite literally all at sea, James. I really don't know what to do with this one. A hamster in the sky. I'd love to see a sky full of flying hamsters. I'm not going to lie to you. That would make me very happy. If I could look out of the window right now and just see a little hamster just floating by waving at me, I'd be thrilled. I'm not going to lie. I do wonder whether it's not a hamster, it's another type of creature. Or whether the hamster, or maybe you're tricking me, the hamster's actually gone down in the ocean and not up in the air. I don't know. I I'm going to say, oh my goodness, this is really hard. I'm going to say this week, the story is rubbish.
Ooh, okay. Final answer.
Yeah.
Okay, drum roll please. Can reveal that it is real. The Japanese company Iwatani Gaiken do want to bring space travel to the masses, and they did think that sending a hamster up would be the best way of proving that it's safe. The hamster is safe, but yeah, it was launched up into the air. And yeah, I'm not sure if running in a wheel might feel a bit underwhelming for this hamster now.
He's really peaked.
Yeah.
he's Tim peaked. Oh yeah, that was a terrible pun. I just feel like there are better ways of proving that going into space is safe than just sending up a hamster. But there we go. Hey,
you think so? You'd really think so.
Oh, maybe it's just the bitter loser here talking. All right, you tricked me in another week. Oh my goodness. So before we go, there's just one more thing we need to tell you about. Now available is the Week Junior newsletter. It's an info-packed email for the grown-ups who subscribe to the magazine and who want to know the highlights of each issue and the behind-the-scenes secrets. If you're a grown-up subscriber, you can sign up right now at theweekjunior.co.uk/newsletter. And that is it for this episode of The Week Junior Show. Big thank you to Eve, James and Kay. And remember, drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcast. Bye!
Thanks for listening to The Week Junior Show, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get a free trial of The Week Junior by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast and using the code PODCAST at checkout.